I like songs that have the word "oh" in it. Like, "oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, dearest Lord, forgive me if I say, for very love, thy sacred name 1,000 times a day." I'm sure you can think of other songs where the hymn writer was just so passionate and so hungry for God that he had to throw that word "oh" in there to give expression to that. In the beauty of holiness. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, why not? Sure. Anybody else? Yes. You'll notice them, I'm sure, now that I've mentioned it. Right? You're going to notice as we sing the songs, you're going to notice the songs that have that expression in it. And again, it reveals a real passionate cry in the heart of the songwriter. These aren't just words. This is something that comes from their heart. It's a prayer. It's a yearning. It's a longing. And whoever wrote this chorus, I don't know anything about the author, but he or she evidently had a real longing for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that God would send it on every heart. Do you feel that way too? How do you feel about the Holy Spirit's outpouring? How badly do we need that? You know, we're living in days, so we're living in last days. We've been in the last days for a long time now, haven't we? But the Lord said that in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's Joel 2, 28 and 29. Talks about our sons and daughters, our handmaidens and servants, our old men and young men, that God said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Bible has a lot to say about the last days. The Bible tells us that in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity will abound. It seems to paint a picture that as far as the world is concerned, the world will get more and more wicked, more and more evil, more and more dark. But God's remedy to all of that is, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That's God's remedy. That's God's solution to what we're facing in these last days. I don't think we've ever lived in days like today, like days like today or these days exactly. What's going on? You pick up the paper, you turn on the news, and it just grieves you and could almost frighten you if you don't recognize that the Lord has his hand in everything and God is ultimately in control and he takes care of his own. But you realize that there are dark days. It seems as though clouds are gathering overhead. And you wonder, what are we going to do? What about our children? How are they going to survive in these wicked times? What's it going to be like 10 years from now if the Lord should tarry, or 20 or 30 years from now? Can it get any worse? And then the Lord says, listen, I know the devil's working in these last days, but I've also made a promise that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's the answer that we need to get hold of in our lives. And as we see what's going on around us, we need to cry out, oh, for a mighty outpouring. Lord, politics can't help us. Science can't come up with all the answers. But the thing that will make all the difference is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus coming to his people and revealing himself to us, filling our hearts and taking control of us in a way that will make a tremendous impact upon this world. And God wants to use his people to make a difference. And he can only make a difference with his people as they allow him to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And so this hymn writer felt a certain desperation. Oh, for a mighty outpouring. Oh, God, that's the only answer. Lord, we need that as we've never needed it before. We need the Holy Ghost to come and to take over in our lives. Send it. Send it, Lord, on every heart. You're the baptizer, and you promised that you would do it. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, I heard Ruth Graham Bell, and she was saying that as a young girl, her parents used to talk about the great need for a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit. And she asked her mother one time, she said, "Mom, how come we don't see that? You and Dad have been talking about it, praying about it. How come we don't see that outpouring?" And she said, "Because God's people are not desperate enough yet. But when we get desperate, when we really want the Spirit of God to move in our lives more than anything else, when we see that that is the only answer, then we're going to start crying out, 'Oh God, oh for a mighty outpouring.'" We can do that here at camp. As we are in the presence of God and the Word of God is ministered to us and the Spirit of God deals with us, God wants to show us that in our own hearts, we need a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need to be changed. God will give us a sight of ourselves and we'll realize that I can't change myself. There's nothing that can solve my problems or make me the type of person that God wants me to be but the Spirit of God. And you'll notice that as you seek God, somehow you begin to get more desperate for Him, more hungry for Him. And that's exactly the place that God wants to bring us so that He can send the Spirit upon every heart. The next verse talks about a Holy Ghost stirring. "In my hungry heart, let it start." Were you ever stirred by the Holy Ghost? You know, it's different to be stirred by the Holy Spirit than just to get emotional about something. You know, there are times when we get very emotional about things, and maybe we hear a stirring sermon, or something just, you know, gets into us somehow. But you know, those stirrings, I find, they dissipate after a while, and it doesn't really go very deep. There are some preachers that can really preach and they can get you on the edge of your seats and they can get you to cry and they can get you to laugh and you can leave the meeting and say, "Oh, that was a great meeting. What a sermon. That was great." And then by the time the day is over, you hardly even think about it anymore. You forgot what he said and you just go on living the way you've always lived. Well, that's not a Holy Ghost stirring. Oh, you were stirred. But it's different when the Holy Ghost stirs you on the inside. And that's what people need. We need it to go deeper than our emotions. We need the Spirit of God to stir us deep in our hearts and in a way that we can't get away from it. Some people will tell me after a meeting, "That was a good meeting," or "That was a good talk." And I think they're trying to be kind to me, and I appreciate that. But I've told more than one person, "Well, we'll see if it was a good meeting by the end of the week, if it's made any difference in our life." That's what makes a good meeting. Not that it made you feel good and you went home happy, or you learned something you didn't learn, or enjoyed the music. All of those things are good. But what makes a good meeting is when the Holy Ghost gets hold of us and He stirs us in a way that we can't get away from it until we do something about it. And if by the end of the week you can say, "Well, those things that I heard in church, those things that were preached about, really made a change in my life. I dealt with God. I couldn't get away from it. I found myself praying about those things throughout the week. And God began to show me things." And, oh, that makes a good meeting. Not great soloists, not a great choir. Not great music, not great preaching, but a real Holy Ghost stirring. I've often prayed that for our young people, and not just limited to them, but I say, "Lord, really stir them inwardly. when they go back to school, Lord, don't let them just go back living like everybody else, acting like everybody else. But God, do something in their hearts that they can't get away from. Bring them to prayer. Bring them to your word. Help them to call upon you, Lord, until you answer. And we find that that's good for the older ones as well. Brother Paul Munsinger, I'm sure he doesn't mind me mentioning this because he's mentioned it publicly himself a number of times. And I hope I get the story right, especially since he's sitting right there. But he talked about a time in his life when the Holy Ghost began to stir him. Perhaps you've heard his testimony. I mentioned it in our church not too long ago, and how God began to put a prayer in his heart. It was a prayer that the Holy Ghost was praying through him. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. All night long, if I remember correctly, Brother Paul told us, that prayer just kept praying in his heart. It was something that God had put there. He couldn't get away from it. It began to have a deep and profound effect upon him, drew him to the Lord, helped him to reach out again, filled his heart with faith. And that was the beginning of a wonderful change that God wrought in his life and then continued to work in him from there. And so that's what we need. Lord, while I'm up at camp, let there be those Holy Ghost stirrings in my heart. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts, it says that when he went to Athens, he was stirred in his spirit when he saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry. You know, there are a lot of things that Paul saw that he wasn't happy with and was concerned about. But there are times in the book of Acts where you see that the Holy Ghost got hold of him and he began to feel in his heart what God felt about the situation. And he had to stop and he had to stand there on Mars Hill and preach to this group and share the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And there are other places where he was stirred. He told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. 2 Timothy 1:6. He said, you know, we can do something to open our hearts to this Holy Ghost stirring. We can yield ourselves to God. We can praise the Lord and open up to him and just cooperate with the moving of the Spirit in our lives. You know, maybe there was a time when you used to praise the Lord more than you do. Well, what are you going to do about that? When we're in meeting and we have opportunity to worship God, we need to stir up that gift in us. We need to begin to praise the Lord, whether we feel like it or not. Lift our hands, forget about everybody else. Sing with all our hearts, right to Jesus. And you'll find that as you stir up the gift, the Holy Ghost begins to stir within you. And that spark becomes a flame that begins to consume you. In my hungry heart, let it start. Oh God, I can't change myself. But Lord, if the Holy Ghost stirs me, Lord, I'll cooperate. Lord, if you move within me by your grace, I will not ignore that. And then he says, purge away all that would hinder and cause me to seek thee afresh. In Hosea, it tells us there in the 10th chapter, the 12th verse, that we ought to break up the fallow ground. And we ought to start seeking God with all our hearts. You can look up that verse. And then he talks about raining righteousness upon us. Fallow ground is ground that has been neglected. Before a farmer can plant the field, he has to break up the fallow ground. It's dry, it's hard. And he has to soften it. He has to make openings in it for the seed to fall in. And the Lord tells us he wants to do that in us. He wants to break up that fallow ground and cause us to seek him afresh. Maybe God is calling you to seek God afresh, to give yourself to the call of God anew. Sometimes we get distracted over the years. Sometimes we get careless. Our hearts begin to get hardened. Things that used to affect us don't seem to have the effect upon us anymore. The Bible becomes a boring book. Church becomes something of some place that we'd rather not be. There's something wrong. The ground has become hard. And God wants to break up that fallow ground and help you to seek Him afresh and to seek Him with all your heart. In Jeremiah, we're told that if we seek Him, we'll find Him if we seek for Him with all our hearts. In Hebrews 11:6, we're told that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, help me to get back to seeking You? Lord, I've wandered. I don't know how to get back into that place that I know I ought to be. But Lord, You can get me there. And I invite You to come and help me to seek You afresh. Help me to get started again. Fill me with hope, Lord. You know, I find that when I pray that way, the Holy Spirit takes that prayer very seriously. And He begins to go after me. He begins to tug upon my heart. Sometimes during the day, I feel the love of Jesus. Where did that come from? That's the Holy Spirit helping me, calling me to seek Him so that I might find Him. You know, that feeling of longing for Jesus is really His longing for you, touching your life and making you want to draw near to Him. If we draw near to God, the Bible assures us that He will draw near to us. And so I say, Lord, help me to seek You. Draw my thoughts back to Yourself. Don't let my thoughts wander. Don't let me get so easily distracted. Help me to make a new effort, Lord, to seek You, to give You place in my life. I was telling the people in church, you know, we need to make an effort. We need to do something more than we're used to doing. If you don't go out to Sunday night meeting, maybe there's some Sunday nights where you need to turn off the TV or whatever you are doing at home and say, I'm going to go to church again tonight. I was there this morning, but I'm going to make an effort to do something more. I want Jesus to see that I mean business, that I want to get closer to Him. Maybe it's picking up the Bible and putting down the gadget that you're so occupied with. Maybe it's just getting alone with God and just giving a little more time that day to wait on God, to sit in His presence, to worship Him, to give yourself to prayer. You know, God looks for that added effort. And He'll help you. He'll stir your heart. He'll remind you. He'll draw you. God wants us to seek Him afresh and to really give ourselves to that call. And then the last verse here says, open the floodgates of heaven, come, and Thy people now bless. You know, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. My mother used to share that verse with us. Growing up, she used to tell us that often. The blessing of God will enrich your life, and you'll never be sorry. He won't add any sorrow to it. You'll never regret seeking God's blessing in your life. She also told us, be sure your sin will find us out. That was another verse she'd like to share with us before we left the house, just to make sure we kept in line. But, you know, the pleasures of the world, well, they bring pleasure for a little while, don't they? But did you notice there's always a price tag connected with the worldly pleasures? There's always sorrow connected with it, always some misery, always some harmful thing that takes place. When I was a teenager, my friends, they wanted to help me to enjoy worldly pleasures. So when we'd play soccer or baseball or hockey, they'd bring out the beer. Come on, Ken, have a drink, you know. Well, when I was in third grade, I never had to worry about that with my friends. But when I was in high school, things became more available. They wanted to set me up with girlfriends, and they had all these things they wanted to entice me with. But thank God that it was at that time in my life that God was causing me to seek his blessing. I had experienced the blessing of Jesus in my life, and my life was so enriched by that touch of God. I couldn't wait to get to church. I couldn't wait to open my Bible. I couldn't wait to get to Pilgrim Camp. I met God there. God was doing such wonderful things in my life, and now my friends were trying to steer me in another direction. And the Lord made it very real to me, Kenny, you can do whatever you choose to do. But if you choose to pursue the pleasures of the world, you're going to forfeit the blessing that I have for you. And I told a friend one time, I said, you know, if I do what you want me to do, I'll lose God's blessing on my life. I would rather have the blessing of God upon my life and deny myself every pleasure than to throw myself into the world and lose that precious touch of God upon my life. The blessing of God enriches us, and you'll never regret going after his blessing. There's no sorrow connected with it. But I saw the sorrow that was connected with the pleasures of the world. I saw my friends making up the next days with hangovers and wondering what they said and what they did that they would regret. The trouble that they got themselves into. The sicknesses that they opened their bodies up to. And, you know, there's always some sorrow connected with these pleasures. The devil doesn't advertise that, and he tries to hide that from you. But be sure that the pleasures of the world dissipate our lives, tear us down. But the blessing of Jesus edifies and strengthens and enriches us so that we can be a blessing to others. And so remember that verse, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he doesn't add any sorrow with it. And then ask the Lord to help you to seek his blessing. Warren Wiersbe, some of you know that name. He wrote a number of books. I heard him at Brooklyn Tabernacle one time. And he said he was in a prayer meeting. I've told this story before. He was in a prayer meeting, and a lot of people prayed out. And it was a blessed meeting, and so one person prayed, Lord, bless our pastor and his family. And then the Lord, someone else prayed, Lord, bless our church. And oh God, just pour your blessing upon our young people. And everybody was praying for God's blessing. Everybody wanted God's blessing. But then he said, one person prayed, Lord, make us the type of people you can bless. He said, that was a good prayer. Lord, make us the type of people you can bless. You know, we have something to do with the blessing of God upon our lives. It doesn't just fall on you. You can put yourself in the place of blessing. And much of what we've been talking about tonight has to do with that. While I'm here at camp, Lord, help me to put myself in the place of blessing. Help me to put forth special effort. If I have some time off, Lord, help me to use some of that time for you. Help me to get to meeting earlier. Maybe help me to stay a little bit later. You know, don't let me just do the bare minimum. But Lord, if I really want your blessing, help me to show you. And the Lord sees every little effort we make. It means something to him. He takes notice of that. If he takes notice of the fact that you give a cup of cold water to somebody in his name, don't you think he takes notice when you give him a little more time than you normally give him? When you pick up his word and ask him to open it up to you? And so this song has been such a blessing to us in Canarsie over the years. And as I said, I haven't heard this song sung in other churches. Maybe they do. But the only place I've ever heard it sung was in Canarsie. And I remember one meeting after we sang the song, we all came to the altar. And we did just what I was doing tonight. We started praying about everything. First, we started praying, oh, for a mighty outpouring, Lord. Make us hungry for a real outpouring of your Spirit. And then we began to pray, oh, God, let there be a Holy Ghost stirring. Jesus, get down deep. And don't let us get away from your working and your call in our lives. Cleanse our heart from all that hinders and cause us to seek you afresh, Lord. Draw us after yourself. Lord, remind us it's time to seek God. Remind us that we don't have any time to waste. Let us feel your love during the day and let it get us down on our knees and just fill our hearts with worship. And then open the floodgates of heaven and, oh God, send your blessing upon your people. You know, that word blessing, it can mean something different for every one of us. God knows the type of blessing you need. And he's here to minister that to us. You know, sometimes we don't even know what we need. We think we know what we need. But God knows the real need of your heart. He knows the emptiness there. He knows the need and how to meet the need. And sometimes when we seek the blessing of God, we don't have to tell him how to bless us. We just have to say, Lord, bless me, Lord, the way you see I need it. Lord, you know me better than I know myself. And Lord, I just want to open up to you and let you have your way. Praise God. Let's sing it one more time, and then we'll close in prayer and then change the order of things. Now we can really pray it, right? Now it's not just a little happy song, but it can be a real prayer that comes from our heart. We can sing it with real understanding. All these thoughts come right from the Bible, don't they? Praise God.
Oh, for a mighty outpouring, send it on every heart. Oh, for a Holy Ghost stirring in my hungry heart, let it start. Purge away all that would hinder, cause me to seek thee afresh. Open the floodgates of
can you sing it standing up? Let's see. Here we go.
Oh, for a mighty outpouring, send it on every heart. Oh, for a Holy Ghost stirring in my hungry heart, let it start. Purge away all that would hinder, cause you to see me afresh. Open the floodgates of heaven, come and let people now bless. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fresh. Let's give him a chance to do it in these closing moments. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, Jesus, fill. Jesus, come. Jesus, have your way. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Savior. Oh, Lord, we need it. We need a mighty outpouring. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother Paul Munsinger, would you pray with us, please?
Lord, we thank you for your word again to us tonight. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, that your word reaches us. We pray, O God, that you will enlarge our hearts to accept all that you want to do for us. Lord, we thank you that your Spirit desires to indwell us fully. And, O God, give us hungry hearts.
Yes.
Show us our need to be filled with the Spirit more and more, constantly, day by day, hour by hour.
Yes, Lord.
Don't let us be distracted, Lord, even here at camp. Let us seek you with our whole heart. Let us show you how much we want you. We know that you have a work that you want to do in each one of the staff members and guests. And so we pray that you would accomplish what you have planned for each one of us during these days. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed except for the staff. We have a staff meeting immediately following. God bless you all.